What's up, everybody? This is Jalen Short, aka Head Honcho, and I am back with episode 16 of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast. In this episode, we're going to be talking about the crazy divisional weekend that we just had in the NFL. A lot of great games. This was arguably the best divisional round that we've ever seen in NFL history. And three of the games were decided on a game-winning field goal. So we're going to be talking about that, and we're going to be touching on Jason Tatum's 51-point performance he had yesterday against the Washington Wizards. So let's get right into it. First game I want to talk about, Cincinnati and Tennessee. Cincinnati won the game 19-16 on a game-winning field goal. Joe Burrow, great game, 28 for 37, 348 yards, one interception. Joe Mixon, 14 carries for 54 yards and one touchdown. Ja'Marr Chase, amazing player, offensive rookie of the year in my opinion, 5 receptions, 109 yards. T. Higgins, 7 receptions for 96 yards. And C.J. Uzomah, 7 receptions for 71 yards. Cincinnati really controlled the game throughout. Tennessee didn't really find any footing the entire game. Ryan Tannehill had a lot of mistakes in that game. He had 3 interceptions. I'll get to that in a minute. But Cincinnati really, their offense is really, really well-rounded as far as, you know, the confidence, as far as the weapons they have. Joe Mixon, great running back, runs very hard. Joe Burrow, he's the ultimate competitor. He has a lot of confidence. Only in his second year, great amount of confidence that he has. He has a lot of weapons as well. Like I said, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, C.J. Uzomah, Tyler Boyd, they are loaded offensively. But the Cincinnati Bengals allowed 9 sacks in that game. 9 sacks. That's unacceptable for that offensive line. I mean, you have to really be like, pride has to set in at one point, you know, and it just didn't set in for them, obviously. I couldn't really tell if the Tennessee Titans pass rush was that great, or was it just the Cincinnati Bengals offensive line that was just so terrible? I mean, that's unacceptable. Joe Burrow has to stay on his feet. He has to stay untouched for most of the game. He's your quarterback. He is your franchise player, and you can't have him hit the ground that many times. It's just unacceptable. However, on the defensive side of the ball for Cincinnati, DJ Reader, man, that guy he's a load to deal with. He is a load. 6'3", 327 pounds. A load. 5 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. His impact was felt the entire game. His presence was felt. Tennessee, you know, they didn't really... He was in there. He was tackling guys, clogging up holes. I mean, he's a big body. You know, he's a big guy. So he's gonna have an impact on the game regardless of where he's at. Moving on to Tennessee, Ryan Tannehill, 15 for 24, 220 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. Derrick Henry, 20 carries for 62 yards and 1 touchdown. A.J. Brown, 5 receptions for 142 yards and 1 touchdown. And Julio Jones added 6 receptions for 62 yards. Tennessee, they were the number 1 seed coming in, obviously, had a first round bye. Ryan Tannehill, he's such a sometimey player. You know, sometimes you never know what you're going to get from Ryan Tannehill. He can be a great, great passer. He can be accurate that day. But another day, he can, like in this game, throw 3 interceptions, not very accurate, throwing a lot of risky passes, stuff like that. Derrick Henry, I was not expecting a lot from him in this game. However, they did give him the ball 20 times. He had 20 carries for 62 yards. I mean, I didn't expect him. I expected the Tennessee Titans to kind of back up, kind of, you know, decrease the load for him just because of, you know, he played with a steel plate in his foot. He had screws and a steel plate in his foot. I mean, for a guy to have that in his foot, I mean, I wouldn't just give the ball to him 20 times, but you know, Tennessee, they said he was going to start. They said they weren't going to, you know, limit his carries and limit his time in the game. And clearly they didn't do it. But he was around. In my opinion, just looking at him running, looking at him the way he moved, he wasn't really 100%. Like I said, that plate and those screws in his foot really hindered what he did in that game. I believe he's around 80, maybe 85%, you know, or maybe 75%. So, like I said, Tennessee, they didn't really find any footing the entire game. But A.J. Brown had a great game, 5 receptions for 142 yards and 1 touchdown. I mean, he had a great game. You know, Ryan Tannehill has some great, he has some great passes. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, he just had a terrible game overall. He had some great moments and great passes, but those three interceptions, man, those three interceptions, you can't throw three interceptions in a divisional round game in the playoffs. You just can't do it. Win or go home situation, you just can't throw three interceptions. The Bengals are just too good for that. I mean, once Joe Burrow meets the Kansas City Chiefs, it's going to be tough, obviously. But once he reaches the Kansas City Chiefs, it's going to be almost as if he's resetting again. You know, they beat Kansas City later in the season, so it's going to be like a restart for him. You know, he's been playing great, been playing absolutely well, but Kansas City is a different monster. They're a different animal, and we're going to see how they play in the AFC Championship game. Next game I want to talk about, San Francisco 49ers, Green Bay Packers. San Francisco won that game 13-10. Jimmy Garoppolo, 11 for 19, 131 yards, one interception. Elijah Mitchell, 17 carries for 53 yards. Deebo Samuel, man, that guy's crazy. 10 carries for 39 yards and 3 receptions for 44 yards. George Kittle added 4 receptions for 63 yards. San Francisco, it was cold, very cold in Green Bay. It was around maybe 20 degrees, maybe 15 degrees, and it felt like it was maybe 5 or maybe even 0 degrees. But pushing that aside, I mean, San Francisco played well. Like, they played better than I thought they would play. Jimmy G, you never know what you're going to get. He's just like a Ryan Tannehill kind of guy. You just never know what you're going to get. He's kind of inconsistent. He can make great throws sometimes. You know, he's a little accurate, but overall, he's not a great quarterback. He's a solid quarterback. He can get you the bare minimum, I would say. But like I said, Deebo Samuel, man, that guy, he can do everything. He's a Swiss Army knife. They can put him at running back. They can put him in slot. They can put him at X. They can put him at Y. So with him on the offensive end and with George Kittle, he had a couple drops in that game. But that one-handed catch, man, that one-handed catch on the sideline was a tremendous catch, maybe the catch of the game. But ultimately, what won San Francisco the game was the blocked punt by Jordan Willis. Jordan Willis blocked the punt. It was returned for a touchdown by Hufanga. Hufanga, great player, great special teams player. But Green Bay special teams, man, they are terrible on special teams. Earlier in that game, San Francisco blocked a Green Bay field goal earlier in that game. That's the game right there. You know, they block a field goal. San Francisco ends up winning the game by 3 points. Look at that. You know, it's certain little plays like that, and attention to detail as far as on the Green Bay side, attention to details of the special teams, man. You know, one of the guys on the Bear Down Report podcast, Ryan Dangle, he pointed that out earlier in the season when the Bears play them. They have a lot of deficiencies on that special teams unit. Punt team, the field goal unit, everyone on special teams, they have a lot of deficiencies. That's why I'm talking about Green Bay. But obviously that went in San Francisco's favor, so they end up winning the game. Robbie Gould kicked a game-winning field goal to send the 49ers to the NFC Championship game. Being a Chicago Bears fan, and all the Chicago Bears fans know, Robbie Gould was we loved him. You know, when he was playing for the Bears, we loved ourselves some Robbie Gould, man. For him to kick that game-winning field goal against the Packers, oh my God. I mean, tremendous feeling. I mean, I hate the Packers with everything in me. It was just a tremendous, tremendous feeling to have Robbie Gould kick that field goal to send the 49ers to the NFC Championship game and beat Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. Send all of their fans home. They sat in the cold for nothing. They thought they were going to win the game. They didn't win. Great. Now they're sitting at home with the Chicago Bears fans. So that's absolutely tremendous in my book. But on the Green Bay side, Aaron Rodgers, 20 for 29, 225 yards. Aaron Jones, 12 carries for 44 yards. He also had 9 receptions for 129 yards. A.J. Dillon went down with an injury earlier in the game, but before he went down with that injury, 7 carries for 25 yards and 1 touchdown. Devontae Adams added 9 receptions for 90 yards. And on the defensive side of the ball for Green Bay, Rashawn Gary had a tremendous game. 4 tackles, 2 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. His presence was felt the entire game as well. You know, he's Michigan guy. He's tough, and I like the way he plays. I love the way Rashawn Gary plays. He's such a consistent pass rusher. Every single time you're going to see Rashawn Gary. I don't care if he's in the vicinity. I don't care if he's batting down passes. You're going to see Rashawn Gary every single time, and that's what I like about him. But other than that, Aaron Rodgers, I mean, what a season by him. You know, people were saying it was an MVP season by Aaron Rodgers. I believe the 49ers are his kryptonite. You know, he's 0-4 against the 49ers in the playoffs. Maybe this is his last game. Maybe that was his last game in Green Bay. Maybe this is his last season in Green Bay. He already said, and I quote, he doesn't want to be a part of a rebuild. But Green Bay has a lot to take care of this offseason. And it starts with Aaron Rodgers. If they want to keep him, they have to do a lot to keep him. I mean, Devontae Adams as well. I mean, Devontae Adams is arguably the best wide receiver in the game right now. So we'll see what happens with Green Bay. Obviously, you know, I would want them to not be a good football team anymore just because I'm a Bears fan. But, you know, it is what it is. Next, we're going to be talking about Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the LA Rams. The LA Rams won that game 30-27, won a game-winning field goal. Matthew Stafford, 28 for 38, 366 yards, 2 touchdowns. Cam Akers, 24 carries for 48 yards. Cooper Kupp, 9 receptions for 183 yards and 1 touchdown. Odell Beckham Jr., 6 receptions for 69 yards. The LA Rams offense, man, it was firing on all cylinders in the first half. You know, it started to slow down in the second half, but the first half, everything was going right for LA. You know, Matthew Stafford had a tremendous, tremendous game. Didn't throw an interception. Capitalized on all the mistakes Tampa Bay made. It was just a well-rounded game for him, and he silenced a lot of haters. I'll say that he silenced a lot of critics because, you know, in Detroit, he couldn't get the job done with that team, with Calvin Johnson and those guys. Couldn't get the job done, you know, and now he's in the NFC Championship game going against the 49ers. So great game by him. I believe he outplayed Tom Brady, and that's why ultimately they won the game, in my opinion. But that's neither here nor there. Cooper Kupp, Triple Crown winner. That guy's amazing, man. You know, Tampa Bay didn't really have an answer for him. 9 receptions for 183 yards and 1 touchdown. He's just a tremendous player. I mean, he always throws you off balance. He's a great route runner. He has deceptive speed, I would say. You don't really know he's fast until he catches the ball and just outruns you to the end zone. And on the defensive side of the ball for LA, Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Von Miller, they combined for 8 tackles, 3 sacks, 3 tackles for loss. Tom Brady was hurried almost the entire game, and it was just those three guys. Aaron Donald, no doubt, I'll say this, no doubt TJ Watt should win Defensive Player of the Year, but everyone knows who's the best defensive player in the NFL is overall. It's Aaron Donald. Aaron Donald can't be stopped. He just can't. You know, it's you literally have to game plan around him. He has to be the focal point in your game plan, or else he's going to kill you, or else he's going to just embarrass your offensive line. And same with Leonard Floyd and Von Miller. You have to account for those guys. Von Miller is Super Bowl champion, Super Bowl MVP. You have to account for these guys on the defensive line, and that's where I believe LA won that game. It was just a lot of pressure on Tom Brady throughout the entire game. Even in the second half, when they started to gain momentum and started to make a comeback, where they did come back, the game was tied at 27 before the game-winning field goal. But it was a lot of hurries, and Tom Brady was really uncomfortable, especially in the first half. It was really uncomfortable throughout the entire game. But Tom Brady, 30 for 54, 329 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. Leonard Fournette, 13 carries for 54 yards, 2 touchdowns. He also had 9 receptions for 56 yards. Mike Evans, great game by him, 8 receptions for 119 yards and 1 touchdown. Rob Gronkowski added 4 receptions for 85 yards. I wanted to touch on Cam Akers for a minute because his injury, he had an Achilles injury last season, or before the start of the season last year. And he's back, and he's playing great. You know, he did a lot of rehab. He made sure he wanted to be back in these playoffs, and he is, and he's making a tremendous impact. However, he had 2 fumbles in that game, and the last one in the fourth quarter almost cost him the game. I honestly thought after that fumble, Tampa Bay was going to make a comeback, was going to complete the comeback and win that game. However, they didn't. Cooper Kupp also had a fumble that game, but Matthew Stafford, like I said, he proved a lot of people wrong. And maybe this is Tom Brady's last season. Maybe that was his last game. Who knows? You know, you always want to go out on top. And last season, he won the Super Bowl. I thought he was going to retire after last season, but came back for another season. They didn't get it done this season. So maybe he will retire. Who knows? He hasn't really put anything out there as far as hinting at retirement. But like I said, who knows? He's 44 years old, had one of his best seasons statistically. But we'll see what happens. And the last game I want to talk about, before I even talk about this game, you know, I made a tweet. And I said, actually it was this morning, I said, you would think that I'm a diehard Bills fan, the way that I'm still mad about this game, about the game yesterday between Kansas City and Buffalo. And I was just so upset that Josh Allen didn't get to see the field again after Kansas City scored that touchdown. The NFL overtime rules need to change, no doubt about it. But we'll get to that after we talk about the stats and talk about the whole game in general. Patrick Mahomes, Kansas City won the game, 42-36. Patrick Mahomes, 33 for 44, 378 yards, 3 touchdowns. Also had 7 carries for 69 yards and 1 touchdown earlier in the game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 7 carries for 60 yards. Tyreek Hill, obviously, had a tremendous game, 11 receptions for 150 yards and 1 touchdown. Travis Kelce added 8 receptions for 96 yards and 1 touchdown as well. Kansas City, you know, they were holding their breath. It could have went either way down the stretch. It could have went either way. They kind of controlled the narrative of the game early, and they tried to put it away, but, you know, Buffalo just kept on going, kept on coming, kept on coming. Josh Allen kept on coming, kept making great throws. And I honestly wanted Buffalo to pull it out. I believe Buffalo deserved to win that game. But Kansas City, you have to give them credit. They're a great team. They have great schemes. Great quarterback back there. Great weapons he has. They were at home. They had momentum. They had the crowd advantage. And they will meet the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC Championship game. But moving on to Buffalo, Josh Allen, 27 for 37, 329 yards, 4 touchdowns. He also had 11 carries for 68 yards. Devin Singletary, 10 carries, 26 yards, and 1 touchdown. Gabriel Davis had the game of a lifetime, man. 8 receptions for 201 yards and 4 touchdowns. That's a playoff record, by the way. Cole Beasley added 6 receptions for 60 yards. Buffalo played a tremendous game, man, especially down the stretch. Oh, my God. Like, you couldn't really put it – you couldn't really make it a better, you know, story, really. They played – they executed offensively, went down and scored, 2-point conversions. They just had a tremendous game down the stretch, and they really, really wanted to win this game. And, I thought they deserved to win. But – you know, game went into overtime. After that last touchdown they had, game, Patrick Mahomes got the ball around the 25 to 30 yard line. I mean, had 13 seconds. I mean, he got to the opposing, he got to the other 30 yard line. I mean, the Buffalo Bills have to take some accountability for that. The Buffalo Bills defense, they have to, because he drove that far down the field in 13 seconds. Kansas City did have three timeouts, I believe. However, that far in 13 seconds, I mean, that's inexcusable. That's unacceptable by that Buffalo defense. It's the number one defense in the NFL. That can't happen. I will say that. But other than that, offensively, Josh Allen was tremendous. He is one of my favorite players in the NFL. Tremendous guy, man. And NFL, please change the overtime rules. Please. It's not, this is going to sound cliche, and this is going to sound like I'm a little kid talking, but it's not fair that a game should be decided on a coin toss. A coin toss should not have that much power in an overtime NFL game. Josh Allen calls tails. Referee flips the coin, it's heads. Kansas City receives, score a touchdown, ball game. That shouldn't be the case. Obviously, if the roles were reversed, Josh Allen goes down and scores, Buffalo wins the game. But like I said, there shouldn't be that much pressure on a coin toss. And the new rule should be the team goes down and scores. The opposing team should have a chance to match that score. If they don't, ball game. But, you know, the NFL will, I'm sure they will take a long look at those rules. And maybe it will change, maybe it won't. But hopefully it does, obviously. But I really, the Buffalo Bills are my pick to win the Super Bowl this season. Before the season started, I picked the Buffalo Bills to win the Super Bowl. But, like I said, didn't happen. Hopefully it happens next year. Still rooting for the Buffalo Bills. They might be my second favorite team in the NFL behind my Chicago Bears. But hopefully that changes next season. Josh Allen, keep your head up, bro. You're tremendous. It was unbelievable what he did. Next, I wanted to touch on Jason Tatum moving to the NBA. Jason Tatum, 51 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 18 for 28 field goals, 9 for 14 from 3. Boston won that game, by the way, 116-87. He hasn't had the best statistical season thus far. However, you can't discredit his offensive ability and his offensive arsenal. Footwork is amazing. Tough shot making, like the ability to make a tough shot, it's crazy for him. He's long, athletic, 6'9", 6'10". I mean, Washington had no answer. 51 points, I mean, you have no answer for that guy. The analytic boys, I mean, they always are going to ride you and make you feel as if you're less of a player because of numbers and because he's shooting maybe 23% from three in a season and stuff like that, man. That's he doesn't pay attention to that. Jason Tatum doesn't pay attention to that stuff. He goes out, plays basketball to the best of his ability every night, and this night on fire. This just goes to show you that analytics don't really matter. It's about the eye test. Eye test is really what people should go off of, especially the analytic guys. Just because you're having a bad shooting season doesn't mean you can't erupt for 51 points like Jason Tatum did. He's an all-star, one of the best players in the game. He's only 23 years old. The sky's the limit for that guy. Hopefully Boston keeps Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown together so they can really win a championship in Boston in years to come. Like I said, Jason Tatum, walking bucket, man. He's just different. And that's all I can really say about him. But other than that, this is the end of episode 16 of the Head Honcho Sports Podcast. I'll see you guys in episode 17.